Now, we talked about New Year's coming up. Is that true? New Year's resolution. How many of you are prone to making New Year's resolutions? Let me see your hands. Where are you at? Not many. Not many. You know, I think about that word resolution, and all it really means is a resolution, which is probably a carryover from last year's New Year's resolutions that did not work, and so you're going to resolution them to try and make them work this year. You ever think about that? Resolution. Now, I know that resolutions are hard, and it's interesting when people try to make resolutions, but I thought I'd come up with a few examples of some of the top picks of what people make for New Year's resolutions, and you're going to see them on the screen here. Typical one, I want to lose 20 pounds. Anybody ever made a weight resolution? Still waiting on that ship to sail, huh? There you go, there you go. How about this next one? Exercise every day. Sounds good until 6 a.m. comes and you're like, nope, not happening. Next one here, never be impatient. Anybody drive much? Always be kind. That one should have butterflies around and things like that. Always be kind. Next one. How about this one? Make $1 million. Yeah? Yeah, you can all get behind that one, can't you? Next one. Look 10 years younger. Or just keep stepping farther back from the mirror. Or dim the bulbs. I found that if you get dimmer light bulbs in your bathroom, it's amazing. It just takes the years off. The next one, never ever make another mistake. Please call me on that one. I'd love to see how that's going for you as well. How about this one, number 8? Get on American Idol. No? Nobody wants to get on American Idol? All right, how about this one? Earn the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah? And finally, the last one, top answer is this. Have realistic goals. It all makes sense, right? But hopefully, you know, one of the things I found in working with seniors here at this church is that they have a, you know, there's a thing called a serenity prayer. A lot of times you see it in Celebrate Recovery or AA. But the seniors, I found out that they have a secret mantra, one that do as well. And it says here, hopefully, God grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway. And the good fortune to run into the ones that I do like. And the eyesight to tell the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, making a New Year's resolution, that's easy when you think about it, but it's hard to put it into action. It's hard to stick with it. It can be difficult. And you know what? Each day passes and that goal seems a little bit further and further and further away. We find sometimes that we do make that goal, you know, say, hey, I want to get down to a certain X number of pounds, for example. And a few months later, you follow a diet with great determination, but somehow you get on the scale and you've gone up 20 pounds. By year end, you hope that you still hit your goal by developing a realistic attitude about your weight and about food, and you plan to work out 3 times a week. The next thing you know, December rolls around. The best you've done is driven by the gym once a week. See, you started off with the best intentions, but it takes great focus. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes great focus and it takes great determination to accomplish most anything. And let me tell you, there are so many things in the world today that are competing for your attention to distract you from everything that maybe God wants you to have your mind on, to have your eyes fixed on. Think how hard it is with great determination. How long did it take the snails to get on the ark? And they only live 20 feet from the front door. I mean, as soon as they dropped that first tree, the snails started moving. I mean, they had vision, they had to trust. But the fact that they even got up the ramp and didn't get trampled on, that's a miracle within itself as well. But you know what? No matter how daunting our journey is, and no matter how insurmountable our obstacles are, perseverance in faith will always lead us to our God-appointed destinations. You see, we can start things off with great intentions on our own accord. But if we say, God, increase my faith to believe that I can and I will, and God, I know with your help, I can succeed. So we're going to take a look, first of all, in 3 different phases. And the first one is looking at our past. Now, you know, when you walk with the Lord, You're never walking alone. Is this true? Does anyone believe that? That when you walk with the Lord, you're never walking alone. But you have some days when you feel like you're all alone and you're all on your own and nobody sees you and you feel all abandoned. But when you walk with the Lord, we are never alone. God's faithfulness throughout history, it is woven in the fabric of scriptures in our lives as well. It's really amazing, the promises that God makes. Because I want to ask you this, can anybody declare a single promise that God has made that he has ever broken? Can you name one? You can't. Now, I know that we have friends and we have family that let us down, but God has filled his scriptures with promises to us. And those promises have carried and sustained us through many things. You can think back in your earlier days of your life. You can know when you faced a tough situation and when you faced a struggle, an insurmountable situation, and you didn't think you were going to get through it. Every time I hear the story when Pastor Jason talks about, you know, when they were in that story, when you're at the hospital and you don't have any money in your wallet, you don't know what you're going to do. And that seemed very epic at the time. But today, his testimony is, God is faithful to see us through. Amen? And the same goes for each and every one of you in the testimony stories of your life. There are things that you have faced, and God has seen you through it. And what's interesting is all those things are in the past now. Therefore, your future's rosy. No more problems, right? Not true. We're still going to have challenges. We're still going to have obstacles waylay before us. But we're going to find out that this legacy should always inspire us to learn and lean into our faith, to know that God's word, it is and always will be steadfast and anchor us in our times of uncertainty. Now, how can we know this? Because God declares it. This scripture right here. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I think about that scripture and I put it into action hero mode. Sometimes my mind still goes back to children's ministries and I think about a child who's in a house that's on fire and they're stuck in the corner and they feel there's no escape. And the firefighter that rushes in and says, I am here. I am going to rescue you. Everything's going to be okay. Let's go. That's the same scenario of what he's saying here. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. And by name, you are mine. Now, God not only created and formed us, but he also redeemed us. So to those of you in this room who are not sure that word redeemed, what does that mean? Maybe it's your first time coming to church, and if so, and to our folks online, welcome. But I want you to know this, is that there is a price that has to be paid for our salvation. It is a price that we do not have enough, we can never save enough, we can never earn enough, we can never acquire enough. We can never be loved enough. We can never be helpful enough. We can never do enough good deeds or enough actions. There is only one way it could have been paid, and that was by a perfect sacrifice. Our Savior, our Lord. Who am I talking about, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Absolutely. And he paid a price. So I got to complete that statement. When he paid that price, how did he pay that price? He paid it with his very own life. You see, he left heaven. He came to earth, he became man, he took on flesh, he felt every single thing that we all feel here, every emotion, everything. Was Jesus susceptible, do you think, to a cold? Yes, he could be susceptible to a cold because it says he became man, he took on the likeness of man, amen? So one of the things is the promise of redemption, it is a living reality. It's not just about what God has done in our past, but what he continues to do in our lives every single day. And I don't know about you, but day after day, we talk about a thing sometimes called the daily grind. How many of you ever experienced the daily grind? Every day, day in and day out, it's the same thing, you know, where you go. For me, it's like every Friday morning, I wake up and it's time to do laundry. I don't let Rhonda do my own laundry. It's just one of my pet peeves I have. I do my own. I don't know why, it's just one of those things. She's really happy about it, by the way, too. I don't know. But every Friday I wake up and it is four loads of laundry. And I've got a time when I do the whites. The whites have to be done when I'm also about to jump in the shower because I'm a miser and I will use the hot water in the washing machine and in the shower. I'm not paying for my hot water heater to heat up twice in the day. You see, this is how my mind works. It's a trap, and I am so stuck. And everything is like very systematic for me. It's cruel is what it is. And Pastor Jason, he goes by my office, and he's like, that poor kid in there. And then he comes in, he says things like, hey, I don't mean to rock your world, but, and then he gives me a honeydew list of things, and I'm like, oh, man. And I had my day all planned already. I knew exactly what I was going to do and how I was going to do it and when it was going to get done and all those things. And then everything goes topsy-turvy. My office door is, it should just be on a revolving door, right? I'm like the only person in the office who keeps my door closed all day long. As soon as I come in, I go in, I close my door. Everybody else, Jason's is open or cracked. Everybody else, their door's wide open. Me, please, Lord, let them stay out today. And, I mean, Robin, the office manager, I mean, I don't know how she knows. Sometimes I come in through the side door, I go right to my office, she doesn't see me, and somehow her radar goes off. Hey, Pastor St. John, can you sign this? Hey, Pastor St. John, I got a question. Hey, Pastor St. John, did you see the email about this? Hey, Pastor St. John. And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Talk about the grind. But I'm so very thankful. I am not complaining one bit. I am so thankful for every opportunity God gives me to serve and everything he gives me the opportunity to do. But for people who know me closely, I'm very much an introvert. And the fact that Pastor Jason had me preach on my birthday because I missed one staff meeting. And I heard that the staff stuck up for me and they even said, Pastor, you know, that's St. John's birthday. He's like, give it to him anyway. You know, Jesus is working to redeem us from so many things. He's going to save me from myself. He transforms us, and every day we should find ourselves being a little bit more like him, a little bit more like Christ every day, dying to ourselves. And if you want to learn about dying to yourselves, raise children. You'll learn about dying to yourself real quick, or somebody's going to die. You know, during holidays, there's a lot of gift giving that can take place in many households. You set a budget, you look for a gift, you spend time, you shop for that gift. And then God did the same thing. He saw you, he saw the value of you. Because really, we say that nothing has more value than life itself. This is a creed that all mankind holds on to as well. But the Savior looked and said, I see you and I see the value in you. Therefore, I will gladly put up the price that must be paid. And what do we do with that price? We choose to accept that price that was paid and call the Lord our Savior. Or we squander that wealth that was lavishly spent on us and live a life apart from Christ. But really, his heart's desire is that he calls you and says, come unto me, all you who are weary and all you who are heavy laden. Redemption is about both for us individually, but also about our collective identity. When God says, you are mine, he is speaking to us, the church. He reminds us we are something bigger than ourselves and we are part of his family. We are his church. We have a great responsibility as his church. This promise, it binds us together. Now God declares in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Here we see God not only knows us intimately, but I love it that he has a plan for us. You can almost tie that into God doesn't make junk. God didn't just let you be born to be born. He breathed life into you when he also had that plan written for you. The question is, where you sit today, have you discovered, are you in pursuit of, are you chasing down, are you praying for breakthrough in what God's plan for your life is today, for this lifetime, for what God is calling you to do? I know I talk to many people and I always challenge them and I say, don't ever live a life of that's called woulda, coulda, shoulda. Don't ever say, man, if I only would have done this, man, if only I could have done this or if I should have done this. And I sit there and say, man, run into full prayer counsel with the Lord and say, Lord, what have you got for me? What are you asking of me? Some of my most exciting days in ministry was in children's ministries for over 20 years and dreaming up things. See, when I started in children's ministries, they didn't really have any formal education program like they do today for it. There was no training. Almost 90% of the churches, all children's ministries was led by lay leadership or well-intentioned, nurturing people, both men and women. But I wanted to be a trailblazer. I wanted to find things that couldn't be, had never been done. And so I decided to always tell myself, my personal mantra was going to be, well, who said you couldn't do that? And I don't mean taking unrealistic risk or uncalculated risks. But man, if I thought something could be done in my mind, I would at least pursue it to the umpteenth degree to find out if it could be done. Is there anybody like that? You have that natural ability, like, I am just going to push the envelope to see how much. I mean, like what Chase is doing at the Edge, bull riding. I want pictures of him on the bull. God gave us a plan. The question is, have you read God's plan for your life? Are you hopeful and pursuing it? God has got some amazing things dreamed up for each and every one of us. I know a lot of people declare to me, like, God has called me. I have a little old lady I was talking to the other day, one of my precious seniors, and she said, you know what? Right now, God is telling me that I need to share his love with as many people as I can. Therefore, I'm stopping and talking to everybody, because that's their plan for God in their late 80s. They believe that that's what God has for them, and so they are doing it. Obedience up until the end. Paul wrote in Philippians this, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul writes this, but he's not just writing it, and if you look at it and you keep staring on the screen there, he's not just referring to it as part of his past, but he's also looking forward to his future. I know that there are people who are visionaries, people who can see way down the road. I've been under many lead pastors who have visions for the future where I didn't, and that's why I'm not the lead pastor. Now, I say it with all sincerity. God calls the right people into the right places to do the right jobs. It's often that saying, you know, are you on the right bus? But even then, are you on the right seat on the bus? Should you be driving or should you be directing? Should you be passenger? Should you be taking the scenes in? So I always tell people, not only make sure that you're on the right bus, but make sure you're in the right seat on the bus. And I'm so thankful that God made my niche in how I serve him very clear to me. And what a joy it has been. But I also found that it is with faith that I can constrain towards what is ahead, even though I can't see down the road. And I'm so glad that God doesn't show us everything down the road ahead of us. How dangerous would that be for most of us? Every man, like, God showed me that in 10 years there will be a Corvette in my driveway. And so you spend your whole life planning for that Corvette, right? And then you find out it was just your cousin coming to visit you and show you their new Corvette. That's all messed up. That's messed up. But we see Paul is not only looking at his past, but he's also looking at his present and also what's in the future. So let's take a look here and find out and continue our reflection. Take a look at our present, shifting our gaze from the past and onto the present. We live in a world, it's often filled with challenges and difficulties. But remember, we are not alone. Our faith is not just about remembering God's past promises, but it's also about how we live our faith in the present. Is your faith stronger today than it was a year ago? Has God given you opportunities for your faith to increase, to believe in things? Opportunity stinks sometimes. I changed the word, stinks sometimes. That's what I heard. But man, to have faith. Now, I know without a doubt that God has got my family in his hands. But there was times when I was a young father and I was speeding, crossing every red light with a son in the car seat, not breathing, as we were told to go immediately from urgent care to the emergency room and go right to, and they had gave me a room number. They said, don't even check in, just go straight to this room number. There's a team there waiting for you. And my son was not breathing. I couldn't hear him anymore. My wife was frantically turning around, had to take her seatbelt off. And I was like, Lord, this is so dangerous. We're driving. I'm driving like a cop pulls me over. And I said, listen, you can do what you want when we get to the hospital. I said, but my son is not breathing. I've got a medical emergency. Follow me if you want. And he did, and he followed me all the way in the hospital. And we got my son in there, and so he saw it was legit. I wasn't making it up. But then he had the audacity to say, well, I'm not going to give you a ticket this time. And I was like, son, I don't hear a word you're saying right now because you are not my high priority. But at that time, my faith was challenged. At that time in the hospital, your faith was challenged. That time that we had that your son hit his head, your faith is challenged. But as we get older, we learn more that, you know, God, you've got this. We are just trusting you. And as I've been around seniors, I find that they're very seasoned in their faith. And they say, you know what? It doesn't matter. God's got it. I've got a senior right now. I just found out she's been on a list for a kidney transplant forever. She went in. She got on the list. She's in Portland right now having that transplant done. Just believing, and a whole group of seniors believing, but I will tell you this. She's also got a husband that she's having to put into care for Alzheimer's at the same time. So she's believing and thanking, still trusting. She had a problem in the past. God's dealing with something in the present, but she's also got something in the future that she has to take care of as well. Have you ever raised strong-willed children? You have? Man, let me tell you. We live in a world that's filled with challenges and it's filled with difficulties, but remember, we're not alone. And a strong-willed child, I remember that when I first moved here to Grants Pass, my wife and I accepted the position here, and we found that my son was entering his senior year of high school, and he did not want to relocate. So my wife stayed up there, and we kept our home up north, and she stayed there for 18 months. I had all my wisdom came down here with my daughter, who couldn't wait to get in the band program, couldn't wait for all these things. And that meant that my daughter and I were on our own. It was scary. It was not good. 18 months. My wife would come down on the weekends, make the long drive all the time. And she lived, our house was about 40 minutes west of Portland. And so she would have to drive all the way into Portland, all the way down, and come all the way down here. And then every Sunday night, she'd come to church and we would sadly wave her goodbye and say, please come back. But one of the things that was interesting is it was tough for my daughter and I. We would butt heads on all kinds of things. My wife would say, man, if I can just make it through at least till Wednesday without them reaching out to me like 911, I knew it would be okay. And she would drive down and she would referee us. But here are some scenarios if you've ever had a challenge where you felt challenged of life. How about these ones here? Take a look on the screen. I told my son to hang up his laundry. He put the laundry basket up on the shelf. That is a strong-willed child right there. The next one, two sisters fighting, and mom asked, okay, who started? And they replied, you did, when you had so many kids. Man, they are blame-shifting on that one. Next one, my toddler played with my phone. Now everything is in Spanish, and I have 273 pics of their left hand. Anybody's kid ever get a hold of your phone? Next one. Teens think leaving an empty box of Hot Pockets in the freezer is a shopping list reminder. I got some young people right now like, what's the matter with that? Last one here. I told my 15-year-old to stop arguing or I would cancel their college fund. Note to self, start a college fund. You know, we can look back on crisis moments, and they seem like the epitome of a stressor on our lives. We look back on them. That fender bender you have, and you are totally at fault. That medical emergency that came up, and you weren't sure, how are we going to pay for this? That financial crisis, when you look and you say, man, I got hit by an unexpected financial bill, and we don't have enough paycheck to cover the month. We look back on those, back in those days, and we can chuckle on those things. I look back now and I think about my daughter and all the things that we butted heads with, and today she's a children's pastor. Yesterday they took in their second and third foster child. So now I had a difficult time raising her at those wonderful years, formative years of her life, And today, overnight, she has an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 12-year-old. God is good. Now I get to call her, hey, sweetheart. What's all that noise in the background? Let's think about Job. In the Bible, there's a character that has been named Job that is described. And Job was told by his friends, curse God and die. Look at all the suffering you're going through. You see, in the story, as we follow the tragedies of Job, he loses his family. I mean, the house literally falls in and his children are all killed. He loses all of his wealth. He loses his health to the point that he has so many boils on his body that he's sitting out in the dirt with a broken clay pot, scraping his sores, trying to relieve the pain of the boils. Consider my servant Job. And yet through it all, even with everyone around him saying, give up, let go, just go ahead and die. Roll over, Job. It's all over for you. He never gave up his faith. He never wavered from it. Even his wife, supposedly the strongest ally a man could have in this world, is his wonderful, loving wife. And even she didn't have the faith. But yet Job found that faith in himself. James 5:11 says in this, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the presence of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, but the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Because you are here today breathing. You are here today sitting upright. You are here today because God got you through things of your past and he's getting you through things of your present. Now, if that God has got two phases of your life covered, do you think he's got your future covered as well? You know, the word persevere, it's a wonderful word. It sounds so noble. I mean, it's like the opening credits of maybe a war movie. And the battleship USS Midway persevered on through the waves and the war. Persevered. But the reality is persevere is associated also with great struggle. When you persevere, you are going through some type of a great struggle. Job persevered through this. But the word, you know, perseverance in the Bible, in the Greek, is used by, it's a word that's pronounced upomone. Upomone, it's a tough one. I had to look it up. I had to get my computer to say it several times so that I could say it to you today. Various places in the New Testament, this appears in Romans 5:3-4. Paul writes, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Upomone is translated as perseverance. Now, have you ever raised a child and told them, don't worry, it builds character? Because every kid is on to that story. They're like, yeah, I don't want any more character. It's dad's favorite lines to use on their sons. It builds perseverance. It builds character, son. Now you can have a new one on them. Just start going, hey, upomone, upomone. They'll be like thinking you've gone off the deep end, but you know better. My daughter and I needed a big dose of upomone, perseverance. But it seems like my wife had the market cornered. And she would come down and bring a heaping portion to us. But in the midst of our problems, we are called to be like the Apostle Paul, who wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, on the screen it says this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but do not despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Every time I read that scripture, I go right to that song. I am pressed, but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. You know it? Struck down, but not destroyed. Yeah, I don't know why. I promised myself I wasn't going to do that during this sermon. But Paul reminds us that even in the midst of our problems and in the midst of our difficulties, you are not alone. God is with you. God is your strength. I love in that song that we sang earlier that said, every curse must be broken. Every promise will be upheld. Everything that will take place. And I love that. The story of the Israelites in the wilderness, they remind us powerfully, our faith is not just about enjoying God's blessing, but it's also about trusting God's guidance as he takes us through our problems and our difficulties. He didn't say he would remove our problems and our difficulties, but he would take us through them. So we can persevere today, our present, because God said we can. Amen? Let's take a look now at our future. We take a look towards the future and we remember that it's a new year coming. It's a new change. It's a new calendar time. It's a time of renewal. Everyone wants to see things new. I love the fact that we spend all November buying Christmas stuff, and then we spend all early January buying bright, colorful totes to put them in. Watch the stores. They're predictors. You will see that the aisle will change now to these giant totes in which to put everything in. So we find that that's one of our New Year's things going on, but we get a fresh start. But consider the first aspect of pressing towards future. New Year is a time to set new goals. It is a time, ladies and gentlemen, for you as God's children to ask permission to dream new dreams and say, God, what do you have for me this year? Man, I can't wait. I'm so excited. But don't let your attitude be, God, whatever you got for me this year, please go easy on me. I work for Pastor Jason, and you don't know what it's been like. I don't say those things. God would just laugh at me anyway, silly human. But Paul is talking about straining toward what is ahead and pressing on toward a goal. It's about stepping out in faith, taking hold of promises and plans that God has made for you. Find God's plan for you. And secondly, New Year is also about cultivating a deeper relationship with God. Amen? It's time to seek his face. It's time that we say, get to know his heart. And New Year's is always a good time to start. And next, change is uncomfortable. I know change is so uncomfortable. When I look at my seniors, my sweet, sweet seniors, and I see them, they say goodbye to a loved spouse of many decades. That is an unwelcome change, but one that God will see them through. It's one that many of us are going to face. Change is very, very challenging, and it's very uncomfortable. But it's also necessary for our growth. So we step into the new year, be willing. Let go of old habits. Let go of that term, I'm set in my ways. That means you, Keith Ruska. Yeah, you. If nobody else, it's just for you, Keith Ruska. Get out of old mindsets, old ways of doing things. You come and you're like, I don't like the worship music. Well, that's okay. Your parents didn't much like yours either. It's just, it's a change. It happens. Things take place. Life continues. Amen? It's funny how we can't stand certain things, but man, when we have grandkids, I don't have any yet, but when we have grandkids, we suddenly are like, I'm all for going to that crowded amusement park, wall-to-wall people and $20 hot dogs. I am all, sign me up. Oh, it's a, aren't they precious? It's the cutest thing. Yeah. It's all different. I'm so glad I don't have grandchildren. I keep all my money. I'm just saying that for now. We'll see. I'm still wrestling with God if foster children count as grandchildren. You're blowing it. She might see this. But finally, press on towards future possibilities. Can God still call you to do the impossible by his will and by his power? Yes. Don't sit there and tell God what you can and cannot do. Say, God, what will you have me do? See, there are people that so many times if I go up to someone and I'd say, hey, I'd like you to preach a service, and they're like, oh, no, I can't. It's amazing how they got that part of their theology all down so quickly and pat. But I'd be like, no, I want you to pray on it. I want you to seek the Lord and find out what the Lord's telling you as well. But press towards future opportunities. The road God gives you sometimes will lead you to a destiny that you never imagined you would find yourself at. But I've found that every time I've taken a step with the Lord, it has brought me closer to some future engagement that he has set for my life. And I don't know what he has for me for my tomorrows, but I know that to today's, he's getting me ready for each and every one of them. Amen. Has anybody ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire? It's a classic. It's a story about the 1924 Olympics. There was two athletes that were the main characters in the movie, one being a Jew and one being a Christian. And together, they, in 1924, overcome many hurdles, no pun intended. They faced anti-Semitism. They faced race discrimination. They faced broken relationships and alliances. The climax of the movie is when Eric Liddell of England, the Christian, is up against the favored U.S. team to win the gold at the Olympics in 1924. And against all odds, Eric Liddell wins the gold. But you see, every event leading up to that moment, up to that race, up to the firing of that starting pistol, everything could have set him back. But he unwavered in his statement. Always, he said, "You see, I run purely for the glory of God." And he knew who was leading his race. And he knew he was going to come out successful with that. He was not one filled with boast or filled with pride. He was doing whatever he could to glorify his God. So we stand on the threshold of New Year's Eve. And I want to do this first of all. I'm going to ask if you would close your eyes. And I don't know if the worship team, can you come back up, Leanna? That would be great. But I'm going to ask you in the audience if you would close your eyes. One of the things that is so vitally important, and that is this. I think back and the famous and most wonderful Reverend Billy Graham, when he would simply say to a stadium filled with people, "You just need to know God loves you so much that he's in pursuit of you, and he wants to have a lifelong relationship with you. But the question is, are you willing to have one with him?" So with everybody in this room, I'm going to ask right now, if you are in this room and you say, "Pastor, I've never been redeemed. I've never accepted the gift that was paid for my life. I'm not sure if I would make it to heaven today." And if that's you, I just ask that you would put your hand up and so I can recognize you and so that I would have the privilege of praying with you, if that's you in this room. Because God has a plan for you. God is excited. But it's that step that you have to take to say, "Lord, I want you in my life." I'm going to ask everyone still with their eyes closed in this entire room. We're all going to pray this out loud together. And so, there are so many Christians in here who already walk with the Lord and don't walk alone in their lives. But you're going to say this prayer out loud simply for the encouragement of the one to your left or to your right, in the hopes that they have never prayed it before, but they'll be praying it for the first time. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to matter. Show me your plan for my life. Lead me to path of salvation. I give you full permission to come into my heart, to change my life. Forgive me of my sins. I confess you as Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. We stand on that threshold. We have that opportunity. Don't waste another New Year's resolution. Take a new year and say, "Lord, show me my destiny, and then help me run fully into it." It may not seem like a grand piece of the plan, but whatever God has for you, there's a reason. And if God calls you to something great or to something minute, there is a reason. He wants you to be obedient, amen? He is not only the author of our past, he is authoring our present, and he has already written our future. Perseverance is important in this race, Christians. Persevere, and the struggles will come, but he will see you through, amen? So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for 2024. It's been challenging, Lord. It's been ups and downs. But God, it has been a wonderful opportunity in which to call you Abba Father. But Lord, we are grateful in our hearts. We are thankful in our spirits. And Lord God, we are optimistic in our futures. Lord, would you come as you have never come before, that this house would be filled with the glory of the Lord in a new way that it has never been filled before. Father, Lord God, that when the doors are flung open, that we would see the broken heart of the downcast, that they would come in, Lord God, that they would be loved, they would be anointed, they would be changed, Father God, that no soul would leave here, Lord God, without feeling the fullness of you. So Lord, I pray in 2025, I pray for the anointing from our worship team, Lord God, to our ushering staff, to the person that makes coffee in the morning. I pray for our security, Lord God. I pray for over our community. And I ask, Lord, that you will be with us in all these things. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, would you all stand up for me, please? Pastor Jason, I'll let you come up here and say goodbye to everybody for us. Thank you, Pastor. And I still want my job.
Would you give Pastor a big round of applause for blessing us today? I just want to take 60 seconds as we close this service and just brag on our team this month. Started with Pastor Bethany, ended with Pastor St. John. Sunday morning Christmas service was incredible. Christmas Eve service was amazing turnout. Man, if you're thankful for your church, would you give the Lord a big round of applause? Just thankful. We're not done yet. Tonight, you don't want to miss John Anderson. My wife is going to be leading worship. If you want a great time for prayer and reflection and asking God to speak to you about this upcoming year, tonight would be a good night. I want you to know as you walk out that door, this pastor, he loves you. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful to be part of this wonderful church. And so, Lord, just as we've given you 2024, we give you 2025. This is not our church. It's not our idea. It's yours. And so we ask that your hand be upon our people. You'd protect. Fathers, I've been getting reports of even one of our families, their home being flooded on the river. Lord, I pray protection over our people. I pray for ways that seem to be no ways. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to guide and direct those families that are going through medical issues and things. Lord, you're the great physician. You're the great healer. Father, would you protect this community? Would you allow us not just to pastor a church, but would you allow us to pastor and reach a community? Father, 2025, let this church be a church to the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. This pastor loves you. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock.